I really appreciate the worship team leading us into that spot with our hearts of surrendering, wanting to know Jesus, wanting to be close to Jesus. And the sermon is going to be a little different than our normal sermons, but I've been reminded of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 today about Paul says in it, I want to know Christ, just the stuff we're singing. I want to be close to you. I want to know you. I want to have this relationship that's deeper. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And I know there's a lot of folks that came in today, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for Jesus. There's problems in my life, and I want them fixed. And if you walk around the church, you talk to people, there's a lot of stories of power. Jesus can raise people from the dead. Jesus can do anything that seems impossible. But the verse doesn't end with just the power. It says, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him and attaining to the resurrection, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is after knowing Jesus' power and new life, but he's also saying, I want to get close to Jesus through hard things, through painful things, because that's going to change me to be more like him, which is going to allow me to know him. It's hard to really have that in our hearts. Some of the conversations I've had this morning, I mean, people have got stuff going on that's such a big deal. I mean, it would wreck anybody's, not just day, but like it would consume your mind, right? And you're not going to be able to sleep well and stuff. I mean, some of the stuff people are going through, these are real problems. Today, we can't control when Jesus shows up and does miracles. Like, who else do we have to ask for miracles? Like, if you're looking for a miracle, like, you should be praying and asking other people to pray with you. But I think some of us are in a season where it's a season that's going to be rough. And the gift that Jesus has for us in the midst of that roughness is to be closer to him, to become more like him. And some of us, we want the miracle, and we want the answer to something that's a crisis in our life. And I've seen Jesus do miracles, and I've seen Jesus say no when good people have too. So I don't understand all that. Like, I can just tell you, I don't understand it all. I know we should go and ask, and I know God's good. And that's about as far as I know to say, right? But I also have learned along the way that there is nothing better than knowing Jesus. Like, it sounds real good in a song, but there isn't anything better than knowing Jesus. And that Jesus, strangely enough, like, none of us have that on our to-do list, become a perfect human like Jesus was. Like, that's, most of us aren't shooting anywhere close to that. But Paul was shooting for that so that he could have a better relationship with God the Father and with Jesus. He was wanting to become like Jesus so he could be even closer. And that's the mission Jesus has given to us, is for ourselves and everybody around us, like to help start living like Jesus. Relationship with God, have a great relationship with Jesus. So why do I bring all this up about suffering this morning? Well, today, the sermon doesn't have a real cool story or something to stick in your mind or put a smile on your face as much. We're going to just look at Jesus, the God of the universe, who chose to suffer for us. And we're going to look at his suffering. And then in the Lord's Supper, we're going to experience in some way Jesus' suffering. And we're going to get to Jesus' resurrection, okay? And a lot of us know that story. There's more for us to understand about what Jesus did for us. If we're going to trust him when people we care about are hurting, if we're going to trust him when life is unfair, I think we need to see how much he didn't just talk about it, how much he was about it, like how much he loved us, how much he would go through too. He's not just asking us to go through hard things while he sits on a couch or something, right? So we're going to read the Bible here, but before we read it, I want us to get into a spot where we're going to do two things, and I'm going to do it with my body, and if you've got a physically able body, I think let's do it together. If you're not physically able, that's okay, right? Like God knows it. But I'm going to get on my knees here in a minute because we're about to read about Jesus getting left all alone, betrayed by one of his best friends, betrayed really by all of his friends, and betrayed by the leaders that should have been all about who he was, right? The people that should have accepted him. So we're going to get on our knees and ask Jesus to help us see how much he loves us through what we're going to read. But then we're going to look up, because Jesus, a lot of times when he would pray, he'd look up to God the Father. God the Father does want to bless us. He does love us. And so we're going to look up and ask him to fill us up, right? That when we really see how much Jesus suffered for us, it would be filled up with new life. And then we're gonna experience it, right? We're going to read in the Bible. We're going to do the Lord's Supper with the help of the serve team. But as your pastor, I can show you the way to open up to Jesus. But like I certainly can't make you open up to Jesus, right? So if you're able, I want to encourage you to get on your knees. We're going to ask Jesus to show us how much he loves us. As I'm praying, it's important for you to be praying in your heart too. Let's pray. Jesus, I, Jake Taylor, I know that I fall short of what I should do. And that's with a lot of help from you. I know by myself, I'm no good. But Jesus, I pray today that you would show me how much you love me, how much you suffered for me. Help me to open up my heart and really know, connect with you. The things that hurt me, help me see that you've hurt in those same ways, but more. And let's all look up. God, you are our good Father, and we're asking you for new life together, that we be made new in you. And we ask for you to do the miracles. When they're good for us, please do miracles among us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 18. If you got a Bible, please flip there. And if you've been coming, we've been in John for a long time. And we're going to be in John for a little bit longer. We are going to take a little break and finish up the end of John down the road. But here in October, we're going to stick in John. And while we're talking about Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, the serve team is going to keep helping us with the Lord's Supper. So we're going to do it for multiple weeks in a row here. And today, though, we're going to read a pretty big chunk. And as we're reading it, Jesus is going to get Peter, literally one of his best friends here on earth, is going to deny him. All the other disciples, for the most part, have scattered. And then the Jewish leaders, these are the leaders of the family of people that all through the Old Testament, God went to crazy lengths to win this family over, to have a relationship with this group of people. Tons of patience, tons of miracles, tons of teaching. Generation after generation after generation, God's been faithful to these people. And when Jesus shows up, they're going to spit in his face and reject him. And I know for my life, I can remember there's these scars that cut really deep, right? Where you feel like somebody you were counting on, they betrayed you, or they weren't there for you when you needed them. Probably all of us have had a friend like that, unfortunately. And maybe some of us have even experienced our people rejecting us. That's what Jesus experiences. There's that double whammy of like his best buddies and his group that should be the people amongst everybody else in the world that accept him. They're both going to reject him in this moment, right? So let's read chapter 18, verse 12 through 40. I'm not going to pause us very much. If you get lost, don't feel guilty. It's a chance to come back to Jesus. Every time you get lost, you just say like, Jesus, I'm paying attention again, right? Jesus, here I am again. And you just keep showing up. You don't have to control your focus. You just keep coming back to Jesus as best you can. And if you miss something, like, that's okay, because there's a lot of goodness here. You just keep showing back up and be like, I'm paying attention again, Jesus, help me, right? Okay, chapter 18, verse 12. Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Ananias, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. There's going to be some back and forth here about Ananias and Caiaphas. Basically, what you need to know is the religious power of that day, it was all this family power stuff that was kind of ugly and weird going on, where like this guy's related to this guy, so he's in power. There's that grossness going on. And then Caiaphas had heard really from God that Jesus was going to die for God's people. But he took a real message from God and twisted it into, it's a good idea for us to kill him. So taking the truth and twisting it around to doing a really bad thing. So that's what's happening there. Verse 15, now we cut scenes here. Simon Peter, this is one of Jesus' closest friends. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty, and there brought Peter in. So this is right during the trial. Peter's getting real close, but now he's about to get accused. Verse 17, you aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. This is Peter, who just was pulling out a sword trying to fight for Jesus, and now this little girl asks him, are you one of his disciples? Peter replied, I am not. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Easy to judge Peter, unless you've had a life like me or probably most of us in the room where you do something you're really ashamed of, and then you just kind of feel sympathy because you're like, I've done stuff I'm ashamed of too, right? Verse 19, meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Here Jesus responds, I've spoken openly to the world, Jesus replied. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. Can you imagine being God who created everybody and you set up a religion super patiently trying to help people get to you? And then the person that's in charge of that at one point like has one of the cronies like slap you in the face? Like it's, I mean, we can't even really imagine it, right? But I mean, if you've ever been, you can't, right? But you, some of us have had a taste of that, right? Of a kid that we've sacrificed a ton for, or a business partner, or somebody that like just threw it all right back in your face when you didn't deserve it. I mean, none of us are as innocent as Jesus, but some of us have experienced moments, right, where somebody really, it's just hard to imagine all the dishonor here. Verse 23, if I said something wrong, Jesus replied, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Ananias sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And there's a little bit of struggle on translating that verse 24 of whether he's already in front of Caiaphas or not, but we get the basic idea. Verse 25. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? So now he's got a crowd asking him. Peter denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Think about what's on this guy's facial expression. You cut off his cousin's ear just like an hour ago or something, right? Again, or he said, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Verse 27, again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. If you've been reading in John with us, you're familiar with this story. You know, Jesus had said to Peter hours earlier when Peter was all like, I'll die for you, I'll do anything. Jesus said, like, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. Here it plays out, right? So there's a lot happening in those verses. It's easy for us to hear that. And even if you haven't been to church in a long time, you may have already heard that stuff before. But as you went through hard things this week, did you ever stop to think about some of the hard things that Jesus went through? I don't know that there's ever, any one of us has ever spent enough time thinking about that Jesus loved us enough to go through this sort of stuff. Like, I've never been insulted or dishonored the way that Jesus was dishonored by those group of priests. And I might still have grudges against people I feel like betrayed me or whatever, and I'm trying to work on that or whatever, right? But like, it's pretty cold to Peter, like, to talk such a big game and then to just three different times so quick, right? And I can't judge Peter because I'm no better. But I just mean, if I picture myself in Jesus' shoes, that's painful, right? And it's not like he's like sitting off twiddling his thumbs thinking how bad everybody's been to him. He's about to go get on a cross for these same people. Like, this is the moment, right? Like, they're doing this terrible stuff right in the middle of the big moment. Like, he's having to stand up under all of that. So Jesus, if you were paying attention in chapter 16, Jesus knew this was coming, and Jesus is going to tell us his secret sauce, right? Like, how is Jesus able to do it so much better than Ken or me would do it, right? So if we go back to chapter 16, on this slide here, I think, verse 32, Jesus had already told them, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered. He's talking to his closest buddies here. Each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Some of us aspire to be like Jesus in the big moments when our kids really need us, or when something wrong is happening at work, or when the neighbor across the street is in crisis. But if you've been paying attention in John, all through John, Jesus has been focused on the Father, talking like the Father talks, doing what the Father does. In this big moment, he's simply being who he's already been the whole time he's been here on earth. He's never alone because of his relationship with God. Let me pray a blessing over you guys. Jesus, we have no hero but you. We got nobody to go to but you. We focused on your death today, but Jesus, I pray you show us what your life is all about as we go out from here. I pray you give us peace in you. For every single one of us this week, Jesus, help us to stay in you. And I pray you would be our source of peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.